Game time, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course the 1620 The Zone mobile app. Mike Schaefer, Vers, all still to come in the show. Nebraska spring game in the books. Now it is on to summer conditioning. We'll blink. It's going to be Big Ten media days. Before you know it, fall camp's going to be here. And before you know it, the season is going to be here. Be curious to get Schaefer's thoughts on the spring game. He'll stop by coming up at about 12:30. All in all, it was a I think it was a productive day. It's a good day. Nobody got hurt, and that's probably the most important thing, that you just want to come out of the spring as healthy as possible. There were some things that were good. There were some things that you'd see and you go, ooh, that'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I feel like the running back spot is very interesting to me, and I'm not ready to say I'm totally concerned with it, but I'm moderately concerned. Like, I think it's pretty clear that one of the three incoming backs need to pop, and I think you really need to hope Maurice Washington's whole situation clears up and that he's ultimately okay. But we'll see. But the big story, obviously, over the weekend was Tiger Woods' return to glory. And after an 11-year drought, his entire life falling apart, his body failing him again, to rise back up and win the Masters. I was texting my buddies and I was thinking about it. Like, yesterday was probably the most thrilling sports moment of my life. When you take a bunch of different things into consideration, what was at stake, the performance, the human element to it, the actual feat itself, there are only a handful of moments in your sports life, as you're a consumer and a fan of all sports, that really stand out to you as the memorable moments. And it got me to thinking about what are the other moments that are up there for me? Now, I mean, this is a subjective list because this is, you know, about what I like or what I care about. But for me, I would do it like this. No particular order here. But some of the most thrilling, I jotted a few down. Obviously, Tiger, in terms of the most thrilling sports moments for me. Tiger winning the 2019 Masters. Greatest comeback sports story in sports history. Absolutely incredible. Been since 2005, his last Masters. Since 2008 was his last major. That would be one. To me, the 2016 NBA Finals. Cavs come back from 3-1 to beat Golden State. So many storylines. LeBron wins one in Cleveland. Golden State had won 73 games. Then in that game 7, you have LeBron's chase down block. You have Kyrie Irving's shot. Just incredible on so many different levels. The 2016 NBA Finals culminating in game 7. Amazing. Then I would put the 1998 NBA Finals, game 6 at Utah. The whole final sequence from Jordan. It was Jordan's Picasso, Jordan's... It was the GOAT culminating into one final 90 seconds of brilliance. Because people forget, you go watch the final sequence. Chicago has a sideline of bounds. Jordan gets it, drives all the way to the basket, lays it in. Ensuing defensive possession, Jordan comes off his man to strip and steal it from Karl Malone. Then he holds the ball at the top of the key, lets the clock wind down, crosses up Russell, perfect jump shot, perfect swish, ball game. 6 championships. Unreal. To me, I would have the 1994 Orange Bowl up there, Nebraska and Miami. Tom Osborne's first national championship, when you take into consideration what happened in 93 against Florida State, what happened in 1983 going for 2. Like, there's been a lot of heartache, is a long time coming in a lot of different ways to get to this point. And Nebraska punches through 24-17 and beats Miami to get Tom Osborne his first national championship. Unbelievable night. Along those same lines, I would have to have the 1997 Orange Bowl, Nebraska beating Tennessee. You beat Peyton Manning. Nebraska wins their third national championship in 4 years. And you figured it was sending Tom Osborne out. He was going to retire, and you wanted to send him out a winner and on top. And that's what happened. To me, I would have Doug McDermott's senior night against Providence. 45 points. Win over 3,000 points for his career. And it was the perfect home game ending to the greatest Creighton Blue Jay of all time. It was perfect. 45 points, goes over 3,000, crowd was in a frenzy, absolutely incredible. I'd have to put the 2016 NCAA College Basketball National Championship game, Villanova over North Carolina. Guys, how many times do you see a shot at the buzzer to win a championship? Chris Jenkins, 3 at the buzzer to win. Not a shot that went in with 4 seconds left or 5 seconds. Like, we're talking shot up, horn sound, swish. Absolutely amazing. Probably the best college basketball national championship game I've ever seen. And then I'd have to put the 2016 Super Bowl on there as well. New England come back from down 28-3 to beat the Atlanta Falcons in overtime. Absolutely incredible. Totally incredible. So those are the first, 7 or so things that came to my mind in terms of those like truly thrilling sports moments that just stood out that you'll never forget. And to me, yesterday was one of those things for me with Tiger winning the Masters. It was just an unbelievable moment. Unbelievable moment. I mean, and the thing that people have pointed out and the side-by-side images of Tiger hugging his son Charlie and then the image after the 97 Masters where Tiger is hugging his dad Earl Woods, like to contrast those two things is pretty powerful. And the one thing you found out, and I was reading I read the Armin Kontayan book on Tiger Woods that is basically just like, it read like a 30 for 30 on his life. And not that it's an excuse, but I felt like reading the story and the book gave me a better understanding of how Tiger became who he was. And one of the things that was pretty evident in the book is there was an anecdote that when Tiger was about 3 years old-ish, maybe even younger than that, Earl Woods would strap Tiger in a high chair and put a television up to Tiger's face and make him watch golf swings over and over and over and over and over for long periods at a time. This kid is 3 years old. My daughter's 3. You know how psycho and insane it sounds that I would put Mava in a high chair and then like wheel up just Steph Curry jump shots over and over and over and over and over again. Trying to get that shot wet. Then on top of that, from basically the time Tiger started going to school, he was detached from society to where he didn't have a normal childhood. Like, his parents would pick him up from school and they'd go straight to the golf course and he would play golf every day, all day, in any spare time he had from the time he was like 4 or 5 years old. And so he was taught that golf is the only thing that matters. And he was, most importantly, taught that he is the only person that matters. And that's a dangerous thing to equip a person with. The thought that they're the only one that matters. And you know what? A lot of Tiger's actions that led to his demise were right in line with that. Why does my wife matter? I'm the only one that matters. Why does my friend matter? I'm the only one that matters. Why does this person trying to help me matter? I'm the only one that matters. These people are all here for me. The whole world is about me. And so, you know, his marriage, his relationships with people, all that were in line with someone that was a self-absorbed, self-centered, egotistical dude that thought the world revolved around him. And although there hits a point where you hope that you know right from wrong regardless of your upbringing, but to a certain extent, we're all a product of our childhood to a certain degree. In some ways, we're a reflection of our parents or a reflection of those that were around us and shaped us. And the image to me that Tiger had a deep relationship with Earl Woods, his father. But what's sad is that you can make a case that it was Earl that it was a gift and a curse. I think it was Earl that equipped Tiger. Like, I don't think there is Tiger Woods the golfer without Earl Woods, but I don't think there's Tiger Woods the total train wreck disaster, blew up his personal life, all that without Earl Woods either. And so the one thing that was powerful to me in the imagery of him hugging his two kids, and in particular Charlie, his son, because we're talking about the father-son relationship dynamic, is that I think Tiger's a changed guy that can break that cycle to his son of what to equip him with to be able to be a good, fully functioning member of society as a husband, a friend, a father, all that. So that was, in terms of the imagery that stood out to me, that's kind of what I was thinking about. That's what I was thinking about. Something else that I was thinking about. Did you see the news yesterday coming out of LSU that LSU has fully reinstated Will Wade as its men's basketball coach? There was a statement from the school and from Wade. And in NCAA officials on Friday, and they denied any wrongdoing. And, you know, it is going to be so interesting. Because, you know, again, you're talking about Will Wade was caught on a federal wiretap. Like, his voice speaking about quote-unquote offers to big-time recruits. And I think we all kind of know that these probably aren't scholarship offers. They are other kinds of offers. Now, everybody is, I suppose, innocent until proven guilty. But when you're caught on a wiretap talking about that, ooh, that's tough. But Will Wade reinstated. And it's just as, it is so interesting to me on how all these different, there's so many coaches that have been tied up in this, and no one's really been punished. Yet someone like Sylvia DeSosa, the Kansas big man, has been punished mightily. I mean, he was basically given the NCAA eligibility death penalty, for lack of a better term, this last January. And so it is going to be so interesting to see, because something has to happen. Like, at some point, there has to be some sort of day of reckoning, legitimate punishment that gets handed out from the NCAA to these coaches. Now, what that looks like, I have no clue.
Right. There's no way they could just swipe this under the rug.
Where it's just like, eh, we'll just keep going. But again, keep in mind, this story broke over 2 years ago. And the thing that I've continued to say is that the NCAA is caught in between this rock and a hard place where the reality is that they're into big business. College basketball is big business. When the NCAA tournament rights are going for $1 billion, it's hard to call this amateur athletics. This is big business. And ultimately, if you bring the axe down on some of the wrongdoers, you know what? That's not good for business. Putting Arizona and Kansas and Duke and all these different programs on probation and all that stuff, that's not good for business. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do? But we saw another coach yesterday, seemingly, for the moment, survive this FBI college basketball thing. 402-951-1620. All right. Mike Schaefer's going to stop by at the bottom of this hour. Verz coming up at the 1 o'clock hour. You can email me, Nick at 1620zone.com, or hit me on Twitter at Nick Baugh. Rocking and rolling here on a Monday. Game time.